Good evening. Welcome to Nighttime. I'm Dave Wager, your host here in the studios at Silver Birch Ranch on the campus of the Nicolay Bible Institute. Nighttime's a half hour of time where we can spend reflecting on what's true in a calm way, not in a crazy argumentative, but a calm way. We want to be able to calmly think through things that we need to stare out at the nature around us and think. To just have our eyes closed and to talk to God and talk about truth and what it is. Truth has this very strange quality in that it's very narrow. If something's true, then everything else is not true about that subject. And there's a lot of ways to be wrong where there's usually only one way to be right. So truth is a hard thing to grasp sometimes, because if two people see something differently, one of them would have to be wrong if truth is involved. Now, once again, there are things that aren't true. You wouldn't put them in that category. Although you can use the word true, so it would be true that I like donuts. But if I'm talking to somebody who doesn't like donuts, then it's also true that they don't like donuts. That's not the kind of truth we're talking about. We're talking about truth. Things that are absolute, things that will never, ever change, no matter what. And here's what I find, because those things are in cement, Satan likes to attack the truth. He doesn't really go after things that aren't true. He goes after things that are true and tries to make it so that you don't know that truth is narrow and you don't know that truth is something you have to know. Rather, it's something you can make up. And it could be true for you, but not true for somebody else. That's not the characteristic of truth. If there is a truth, and there is, the truth is applicable to everybody in the world, no matter what. For example, there is a God, and I'm not him, and there's only one God. It's not Allah, it's not Buddha, there's one God, Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that God. There's one God. So that's true. That's true for everybody who has ever lived. In the beginning, God, not in the beginning, Dave. That's true, and that would be true for everybody. In the beginning, God created. That's a truth. So that we have to understand that there is truth out there, and that truth should guide our lives. Now, when we begin to falter on what truth is, we get confusion. Because if we say there's more than one God, okay, well, now we're confused. Who's God? What makes somebody God? No, the reason we know there's one God is because of the scriptures. And it makes it very simple. It's a very simple thing to understand. Once we make it complicated, it becomes confusing. If you've listened to Nighttime before, you realize that I always am talking about keeping it simple. Because all truth is rather simple. For example, if you're listening today, I can tell you, I know one day that you won't be on earth anymore. You will die. You all know that. Now, that means physically die. But you will continue somewhere. And if your trust is in Jesus Christ and you're God's family, then your death is just an appointment to another area. If you're not in God's family, then your death is the end of your chances to really live life the way it was intended to be. However, everyone will die. See, that's the truth. Everyone that's alive right now that is listening to me was born. See, that's a truth. We understand that we live where the sun goes up and the sun goes down. That's a truth for everybody. So what we want to do in life to avoid confusion is always be able to understand what the truth is and adjust our lives according to the truth. And when we don't do that, we get confused. And there's examples of people who are confused or were confused throughout Scripture. And what I want to do tonight is kind of examine what is it that made people confused. For example, Peter. Peter was somebody who had faith, and there were also times where he was totally confused. If you follow his life, he was trying to figure out who this Jesus was. He had faith. He was a Jewish boy. So he had faith in God, and he knew there was a God, but who is this Jesus? Is Jesus the promised Messiah? Is he one? Because that would have been the truth that he would have had to adjust to. But who do you listen to on that? Well, look at Peter's life. I mean, Peter got to be one who saw the miracles of the feeding of the 5,000. He got to walk on water. He saw Jesus heal all kinds of people. Peter was with Jesus during those times. Peter saw Jesus get crucified. He saw him raised from the dead. Yet there were still massive amounts of confusion with Peter. You would think Peter wouldn't be confused, but he was. And my question is, why? Who did he listen to that made him confused? He listened to people who didn't know what they were talking about. He listened to people who already had opinions formed about who God is and what God is about. See, Peter had his times of faith, but he also had his times of confusion, and that's very similar to all of us. If you're ever confused, what you need to do is go back to the simple truths and start reminding yourself of the truth. I've talked to people who have been very distraught over something that's happened in their life or in their family, and one of the things I remind them often is to go back and remind themselves of what they know, not what they feel. See, what you know is truth. What you feel is different. You may feel totally outside the realm of truth. You may feel crazy. You may feel sad. You may feel happy. That has no bearing on truth. Truth is going to stay the same no matter what. Well, Peter had these great times of faith. He had great times of confusion. Eventually, he got it settled. And if you look at it, the summary would be eventually he got it settled by looking into Jesus' eyes and understanding what he said. Going to the source, he eventually found the truth. But he had to go to the source. So let's take a look at it. Remember, in the garden before Jesus' crucifixion, Peter said he would never deny Jesus. Jesus told him, well, that's not true. There's going to be a time where you're confused. You're going to look at all the circumstances of life and you're going to be confused by them, even though I've told you the truth. You won't allow the truth to cut through. You just look at the circumstances and you stay confused by them. You're going to wonder why God Almighty would allow himself to be crucified. You're going to wonder, how in the world would he allow himself to take a beating, get a crown of thorns? It's not going to make any sense to you that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, would allow the creation to abuse him. So it's going to be confusing to you. It's going to be confusing to you because one week you saw the people lay palms and worship Jesus. And the next week you heard them scream, crucify. Well, when the soldiers came into the garden to arrest Jesus, Peter stood up and wanted to defend Jesus. And in Luke 22:50-51, it says, and one of them, which was Peter, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, no more of this. And he touched the ear and healed him. That's got to be confusing by itself right there. Peter, wanting to take a stand, wanting to make sure that Jesus wasn't harmed, wanting to make sure Jesus didn't go to the cross, tried to defend him. He was going to give his life. These other soldiers were trained soldiers, and Peter was willing to give his life. Now, he must not have been a great swordsman if he just chopped off an ear, because I don't think he was trying to chop off just an ear. Very likely, he was trying to cut this guy in half. Probably was aiming right for the middle of the head, and he was going to take his sword and come right down and chop him in half. But being a soldier, he probably knew the defensive move, moved his head off to the side, and he probably had armor on where the sword would clang on his shoulders. But perhaps the sword just skimmed along the side of his head, and the ear came off. Because it's really hard, I would think, to just aim for an ear. But the thing that's astounding to me is that Jesus bent over, or whatever. I don't know what he did. I picture him bending over, picking up the ear and putting it back on. At that moment, wouldn't everybody in the whole area there go, all right, we're out of here. We're not touching this guy. No, they didn't. They still arrested him, and they still brought him and made fun of him. If you were that soldier, what would you be thinking? Would you still arrest Jesus if somebody cut your ear off and Jesus put it back on? You talk about a place of total confusion at this point. Those who were arresting Jesus, they were confused. Peter, he was confused. The other disciples, they were confused. The only one that wasn't confused at this point is Jesus. Now, you and I can look at this retrospectively. We can look at it through history and say, we know what was going on here. Jesus was giving himself up to die on the cross for my sins so I could be in God's family. But Peter didn't get it because he was looking at all these other things besides Jesus. He was looking at everything else other than just the Word of God. You got to be careful because so often the mob determines what we believe. A lot of people get up and say something and go, yeah, you know, I want to be a part of that or whatever it is, but they don't know the truth. Mobs cannot determine truth. You can't determine truth by a vote. Popularity does not determine truth. Democracy is a great thing, but it can't determine truth. And what happened here was one big moment of confusion to both sides, to everybody involved. Because everybody had to be asking after that ear got chopped off, who is this guy? Well, then they take Jesus and Peter hangs around. He wants to see what's going on. I'm sure in his mind he's thinking, this is the guy that walked on water. This is the guy that calmed the storm. This is the guy that healed the sick, that raised the dead. I saw it. This is the guy. He's totally confused. In Luke 22:54, he's sitting around where he can see them treating Jesus in a way they shouldn't. And again, the people around are talking about how disgusted they are with Jesus, so Peter is being influenced by the talk of the people around this fire. It's a charcoal fire, by the way. And in Luke 22:54-62, it says, then they seized him, talking about Jesus, and led him away. This was after the ear thing. Bringing him to the high priest's house, and Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled the fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Now give him credit. He wanted to see what was going on. He wanted to be a part, but he was in the middle of a mob. Verse 56. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, this man also was with him. But he denied it. What was going through Peter's head at that moment? He denied being with Jesus. He was totally confused at this point. He was confused as to who Jesus is. He was confused as to what's right and wrong. He was confused as to what the plan was. He was confused. You and I are confused often as well. We start listening to the news. We start listening to other people at church. We start listening to the busybodies or the gossips or the slanderers. We don't know who to believe anymore. We need to listen to God. We need to be around him and understand his plan. Well, this little girl came and said he was with him, and he denied it. He said, woman, I don't know him. Now, I think that's an interesting phrase in there. I think maybe that was his confusion. He thought he knew Jesus. He thought he was the Messiah. But he didn't understand who Jesus was, really. He didn't understand what Jesus' purpose was. Jesus' purpose was to come down to this earth to die on the cross so that we could have a payment for sin made. That was his purpose. See, he thought he was going to come down and be a king and rule and everything would be great. No, that time is going to come, but it's not now. This is the time where Jesus came to die on the cross. And he said, I don't know him. 58th verse, a little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. Denied him twice. And after the interval of about an hour, Still another insisted, saying, "Certainly this man also is with him, for he too is a Galilean." Verse 60, but Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. Immediately a rooster crowed. If you remember, Jesus set him up for this one. Because Jesus has told him, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter said, "No way, I know who you are." But somehow along the way, he denied Jesus because he was confused. He was listening to all these other people. He was listening to all these other religious people. He was listening to everyone but God. And a rooster crowed, verse 61. As you remember, this is when the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Well, that's pretty interesting. Peter, totally confused. Confused for what reason? He was somebody who should have known better. Well, because he started to let the crowd influence what he believed. He started to let people who don't know Jesus influence what he believed. He started to let the masses influence what he believed. Well, now he's totally confused. He no longer has faith, he has confusion, because he thought he had faith, and he would have if he would have listened to the right person, but he didn't listen to the right person. In John 21, 9-12, Jesus meets him after his resurrection. So he had to live through a time where he watched Jesus get crucified, where Jesus was put into a grave, and Jesus came back to life. You talk about a confusing time for Peter. He was totally confused at this moment. Why did Jesus allow himself to be abused and punished and killed on that cross? When they couldn't really kill him unless he let them. Confusion. Well, he went and abandoned everything that Jesus wanted him to do. Jesus really had already told him that he was going to start the church. He was going to be the leader in the church. But Peter said, "No, I'm going to go back fishing. I'm done with this. I'm too confused. I don't know what to do anymore. So I'm confused. I'm going back to fish." So he and his disciple brothers went out and they were fishing. And all of a sudden, from a distance, they saw a man who was asking them how they were doing, how they were fishing. And one of them noticed that was Jesus. Now think about it. All the little movies that are playing in Peter's head at this point. All the things that he understood Jesus could do. And now Jesus came back from the dead, was standing on a shore, shouting to him. Well, Peter got so nervous at that particular point. The Bible tells us that he put his coat on and he jumped in the water. Most of the time when you jump in the water, you take your coat off. But for some reason, Peter put his coat on and he jumped in the water and he got on the land. In verse 9, starting with verse 9 in John 21, we hear the story picked up from there. When they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place. Now remember, a charcoal fire has a very distinct smell. And it was at a charcoal fire that Peter denied Jesus three times. It's almost as if Jesus was saying, I want you to replay this in your mind. I want you to rethink this through. I want you to know what you did. I want you to understand that your confusion should not be there. I am God. I am Jesus. And you've been denying it because you don't understand the plan yet, but you haven't gone to the right place. You don't go to the mob. You don't go to the religious people. You go to the Bible. You go to me. You go to God. When they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Once again, Jesus provided fish and bread when there was no fish and bread. He was reminding them of the fact that he is God. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although they were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. See, Jesus was starting to fix their confusion. When you're confused, it's because you're not looking at Jesus. You're not looking at the Bible. You're not understanding who God is because you're looking in the wrong place. You don't understand God by looking at somebody who doesn't understand God. And John 21:15. When they finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Obviously talking about the fish. And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." Verse 17, he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you don't want to go." This he said by show what kind of death he was going to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, "Lord, who is it that's going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to the Lord, "What about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that you remain until I come, what's that to you? You follow me." What's interesting here is that Jesus was working at getting Peter out of his confusion. And Peter indeed was confused. But the way he was working at getting him out of his confusion was by having him focus on himself, Jesus. You see, Peter, if you're going to focus on yourself and your failures, you're going to focus on what you don't know. You're going to focus on what confuses you. You're going to focus on what the crowd says all the time. You're going to focus on all these other things. You're going to be confused in life. You can't do that. You need to focus on me. What I keep hearing Jesus say is, "Peter, it's really good this isn't about you. It's really good it's about me. Because if it's about me, you have power. You have authority. You can go out and tell somebody something that can actually help them. If it's about you, if this is about your obedience, if this is about your ability, if this is about your talent, if this is about your faith, well, Peter, then we're going to be in trouble as a church. Because the church is not about Peter. Remember, he said, go teach them. He told them in different ways. He said, feed my sheep. He said, feed my lambs. He said, feed my sheep. You can go in and you can see that Jesus really was digging deep into Peter to try and get him to see the truth here. If you look into the original, you see when he first went to Peter and said, "Do you love me?" He was saying, "Do you agape me?" And Peter answered him, "I phileo you." If you know anything about those two words, agape is more God's love for us. It's totally unconditional. No matter what, he loves us. Phileo is more, it's a love of convenience. It's kind of like you scratch my back, I scratch yours, and therefore I like being around you. And since you do something for me, that's the kind of love I have. So Peter wasn't lying to Jesus when he answered him. He just said, "I phileo you." And Jesus was saying, "Do you agape me?" And Peter was pretty much saying no. And the second time Jesus says, "Do you agape me?" And Peter answers with phileo. And the third time Jesus says, "Do you phileo me?" And that's when Peter weeps. Because Peter knows that he's really just in this for Peter. He's not in this necessarily to know the truth. And his disappointment is in the fact that it's really not about Peter. He's listened to the crowds. He's listened to his family, perhaps. He's listened to the religious people. He has seen how Jesus has been confusing because he doesn't fit the stereotype of another human being. He heals the sick. He feeds massive amounts of people. He came back from the dead. Jesus was very clear. Just make sure, Peter, you make it about me, and you'll be fine. So often in my life, I've realized that's the important thing in life. I need to make it about God. Oh, I'm always going to have weaknesses myself. I'm going to be confused because I'm going to start listening to committees or to other people talk about things when they just want their input in there, but they really haven't prayed about and thought about it. They don't know what they're talking about. There are those that seek God. They seek Him genuinely. And they're worth talking to and listening to and maybe even adjusting your life because they're talking to you about God. But quite frankly, most committee meetings in evangelical circles are a waste of time. You might say, oh, Dave, you just really messed up. No. If you're not in that kind of environment, good for you. But in most cases, when you gather people to talk about something, it's not like they prayed about it for hours or days or weeks. It's not like they fasted over it. It's not like they really have tried to figure out what God's will is for it. They just want to make sure they're not left out. They want to make sure that their input is important to somebody. They want to make sure that other people don't know things that they don't know. They want to have a status. That's not how you make decisions. But that's how we make decisions, it seems, in the evangelical world often. And then we wonder why the church is confused. Because really, there's one person that should make the decisions in life, and that's God. And anyone who's listening to God should be listened to. That's why I'm very careful to not want to be totally a part of a church that's ruled by popular vote. You're assuming that most people in that church are walking with God. You're assuming that most of them are praying through things and wanting what God wants in life. That's probably not true. See, oftentimes confusion comes from listening to the crowd. Peter, I would like to say, was instantly cured of this, but he wasn't because, as you saw the story, immediately he saw John following them and he asked Jesus, what about that guy? His mind immediately went to what somebody else was doing, what their role would be, what God's plans were for them, and Jesus corrected him immediately, saying, what's that to you, Peter? You need to concentrate, Peter, on doing what you know is right, not on making sure John does what's right. He said, if I want him to stay alive until I come back again, that's for me to do. But I will deal with John individually as I am dealing with you individually. Peter, you don't need to be confused. You focus on me, not John. You focus on the message that I give you, not on the message for John. And as you focus on me and the message that I give you, then you go feed John. You go feed the others in the church. You can do that. But make it about me, not about Peter, and you won't be confused. Well, there's a lot of confusion in the land. We got plenty of mobs and plenty of things going on around us to sway our thought process. I want to encourage you to make it about God, not about you. Well, I'm Dave Wager. I'm here in the studios at Silver Birch Ranch on the campus of the Nicolay Bible Institute. These podcasts are always brought to you free of charge. If you ever wanted to help out, you'd certainly be welcome to. But you don't need to. That's something if God lays on your heart to go ahead and do. Well, good night for now.